Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And I'm very excited about tonight because we're going to be talking about the other side and how many of us throughout the world have begun to know that we can communicate with our departed loved ones. And we have also found that if we can't do this by ourselves, that we ask certain people that we trust and love to help and guide us talk to our dear ones on the other side. And there are many ways to do this. And my guest tonight is an expert. His name is Richard Scholer. He's from Long Island, New York. And as far as I'm concerned, he is the best medium in the world. So good. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Thank you for the compliment. The best medium in the world is high praise. I don't feel worthy of, so thank you.
You certainly are. I would love you to tell us how you got started and how you eventually have become an ordained minister with the Summerland Church of Light in Hauppauge, New York, and also your studies in science, philosophy, and religion and spiritualism.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for asking. I became aware of my mediumistic ability at the age of 33. I hadn't known prior to that I was a medium. Very simply, rather than tell the whole long story, one night coming home from a meditation class, all four of my grandparents showed up in my bedroom. That night in January of 1997 changed the way I viewed the world. Through that, I received information from my partner who was seeing a woman who was a healer who told him that I, having not met me, but I needed to go to this spiritualist church here on Long Island. So I went to the Temple of Metaphysical Science in April of 1997, and they helped me to understand the ability that I have as a medium.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank you. That's where my, shall I say, beginnings of training began. I had two ministers, the Reverend Catherine Snell and the Reverend Janet Travis, were the pastors of the church, and they helped support me by myself and other church members by holding a weekly class, and we would sit for development.
That's a good way to begin it. Didn't you also get up to Lilydale?
Yeah, in 1998 was the first year that I went to Lilydale, which is a spiritualist community about 20 minutes from Dunkirk, Fredonia area, not far from Buffalo, about 40 minutes from Buffalo. And in 1998, I learned about Lilydale. But I think, if I may, the best thing that happened for my mediumship development was in 2007. I was at the International Spiritualist Federation conference in Rochester, and I witnessed a gentleman named William Collar demonstrate mediumship. And through him, meeting him, friending him, he became a teacher and a mentor initially and is now a friend and colleague, but he helped me to understand the ways I could work with my ability and helped me to change the way I worked with my ability. So that's a little bit about.
So in other words, you were presenting it in one way, and then he taught you different techniques to present your work differently?
Absolutely, and you couldn't have said it better. Initially, when I learned through the spiritualist church and my colleagues, it was a different experience. Bill actually got me to understand the active, responsive dialogue that could be happening with my mediumship as opposed to my reporting my mediumship.
So, and you know, that does happen because in my experience, as you know, I've developed myself along these lines a little bit too. I do find that the more that you work with it and the more that you are receiving information from our beautiful light beings and people from the other side, the more you understand how they communicate. Actually, it's telepathic reception, correct, Richard?
It can be telepathically received. There are the aspects of clairvoyance, seeing clearly, clairaudience, hearing clearly,
right.
clairsentience, feeling clearly. And as the communicator or relative from the spiritual realm steps in, they energetically blend themselves or link with you in order for them to convey the information through your senses.
Right. And I find that they pick different people. In other words, whoever comes to you, see if you agree with me with this, Richard. It's so exciting. Whoever comes to you for a reading is energetically connected before they even ask to come to you. I believe that everyone that calls me for my readings is directed to from something inside of them. Do you agree?
I understand what you're saying, and I find there's a similarity, although I might term it a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel that when someone makes the appointment to come to sit with a medium, that they've been inspired to do so or feel the need to do so deeply.
Right.
And in my thought process, that sends out the invitation to their family and friends in the spiritual realm to step forward and hopefully make their presence known during a communication process.
All right, and I see it as chemical. I see it as an agreement between many different aspects of energy. That's what I'm saying.
Lovely. It's a lovely way to put it.
So I would like to know how you feel about it when you're talking to people. And when you're preparing for reading, can you talk about that? Do you sense the person or do you sense the people on the other side before you even speak to the person that asks for the reading?
That's a great question, Elizabeth. No, I don't sense the family members and friends of a prior reading before. I deliberately wait until I'm in contact with my client, and mm-hmm. that's when I open myself to the spiritual realm to be in contact with their family and or friends. I won't sit there and contemplate, you know, who's passed on before a client walks into my office.
And that's because you have to have permission from the client before you open. That's very good. I was asking you, though, if any time, I have had this experience, that's why I'm asking you, one of the people that have passed have told you beforehand, now a certain thing has to be resolved. But I guess you don't have that until you're actually connected.
Yeah, no. In my training and in my ability to work with the spiritual realm, I'm deliberately keeping myself shut, closed off to anything.
Right.
And I, again, until I, when I do an individual session, I'll start with a prayer, and that is my way of opening up. Well, it's a way of setting the space, and then I literally bring my to the spiritual realm. Prior to that, I really don't wish to have more information or anything from the spiritual realm, because mm-hmm. I want to work with that client in that moment.
In that and moment.
If I can offer one more thing, too,
oh,
there are some clients that I'm aware that I just can't work with. And I'm very direct and honest. When it happens that I'm unable to read for someone, I will say directly, I will apologize, but I will state that I'm not the medium to be able to work for them.
And that's happened to me, too. It's very rare. I would say maybe three times a year, but it does happen. Or you think you're really connecting with them. They begin to get upset with the message that's being given. That's another aspect that happens.
Hmm.
But the best part about it is that it can heal hearts when we're doing mediumship work. Don't you find that's true?
I feel absolutely that the information that family members provide from the spiritual realm can, in fact, ease, comfort, and grief, and to use your expression, heal hearts. Absolutely. Some of the the things that make me feel very good and proud are when I hear from a previous client that something I said, now I may not remember it, but something I've said has moved them in a way or has helped them to change their view of their own life.
And perhaps bringing in some forgiveness. I know with me, when you've worked with me, Richard, you have brought in peace through forgiveness. And that's so important. It's important for the way we continue our life now. And it's also important as we cross over.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for saying that, Elizabeth. I appreciate knowing that. I do the best that I can to provide comfort and support. And most importantly, to be as truthful and clear with the communicator from the spiritual realm. You know, here we are.
Another thing you do that I really like that I want to mention is that you are so in tune with your client that when somebody comes from the other side and you say your gift, your wonderful message, you always say, "Do you understand? Is there anything you want to ask or anything like that?" You are always open for the client's input as well as the medium.
Well, thank you. What I'd like to acknowledge, one of the things that in speaking to the client, as you would know, when I work with a client, I will say, for an example, I have your mother standing here. She's giving me a sense of passing with an illness process. As she takes me to that illness process, it feels like a cancer. Would you understand that? And what I'm doing is I'm trying as the medium to make statements about what I'm receiving in information and asking the client to validate the information that is being given. When they say yes, great. When they say no, this is the beauty of what I was taught with Bill Collar, was when they say no, it gives you the opportunity to communicate back to the, in this case, a mother, and say, wait a minute, you're giving me this feeling, or you're showing me this, or I'm hearing this, your daughter is saying no, can you rectify it? Can you clarify it? Oh no, it wasn't a cancer, your mother's giving me the feeling that it was a kidney failure, but it was a debilitating disease, and you know, you take it the next steps.
Right.
So it gives you a chance to actually have the dialogue and be reactive and responsive, responsive to the spiritual realm and respond.
So that the client knows that it's really coming from the mother. In other words, there's a heartwarming process as you deliver the message and the client goes, oh, that's right, or how did you know that? Or, oh, I wanted to tell him, you know, how much I loved him before he died. That happens a lot, don't you think, Richard?
Yes, I do feel that a lot of people from the spiritual realm will come in with the desire to reassure their family members of the depth of love, of apologies for circumstances that happened in their lives that may not have been positive. And the thing that I say as a medium, all we can do as a medium is present the information to our strongest and clearest ability. I can't make someone a believer, meaning I can't force someone to believe what I'm doing.
Correct.
But if they're open to the information, if the information is expressed clearly enough, the information can help them to believe more.
Right, and it also can help them open their hearts and maybe take away a stress or a sadness or a resentment even, and that's healing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mediumship is meant to be comforting, healing. It's meant to help people understand that there's life more than this life, and hopefully it does so if we're consistent and competent and good at what we do.
I agree. Could you please give us how to reach you?
Oh, thank you very much. If people are interested in my work, they can go to my website, which is sacredmessages.com. On my website, it has my contact information. There's a contact page that they can email me, and it also has my telephone number listed, which is 631-223-8634.
Oh, that's great. And you just leave a message and someone will get back to them.
Yes, myself or my assistant.
When they leave a message, is it best to leave their email, Richard?
It's best if they leave, if it's a phone message, it's best that they just leave their number.
Okay.
If it's an email, both email and phone would be lovely.
I wanted to go on to your teaching, because I think that your teaching really deserves recommendation, and people should plan on taking a class if they want to understand. And you teach in more than one place. You don't only teach on Long Island in the United States, don't you teach otherwise? I know you teach in Europe, but I was wondering where you teach in the United States besides just Long Island.
Thank you. Currently, I am on the teaching staff and a member of the board of the Inner Spiritual Center. The Inner Spiritual Center was founded by Sharon Shubis and Bill Collar in New Jersey, in Wayne, New Jersey. And it is a 4 weekends a year, 4 3-day weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a 2-year education course in mediumship development. I've been a part of this since its beginnings a couple of years ago, and I have the great, great pleasure to work with both Sharon Shubis and Bill Collar on these weekends. We've had the pleasure of teaching a number of students and are looking forward to the continuation and growth of the Inner Spiritual Center. I also, thank you for asking, I also have the pleasure of being on the executive committee of the International Spiritualist Federation, the ISF. And the International Spiritualist Federation has a week-long teaching event. At this year, it's going to be in Holland. I'm going to be leaving for Holland next week for a week-long course where I teach mediums from around the world.
See, I told you you're the best in the world. I love it. Is there still anybody able to sign up, or is that closed for this year?
The ISF is closed for this year, but if you go to the ISF's webpage, it's theisf.com, they will be posting after August, approximately August 15th, they will be posting next year's event and where it will be taking place. You can sign up for that, and I will be teaching at that as well.
That's great. And do you want to tell us some of the subjects that you teach? Is it just being a medium, or is it more spiritual than that? Does it cover other areas?
So far, my passion is teaching mediumship development. So predominantly, my work is around helping other men and women who feel they have this ability to become more aware of their ability as a medium. I get to teach that in Europe, but I also have the privilege of teaching at different spiritualist churches and centers here in the United States. And with that, I'm going to be in Las Vegas, I'm in Connecticut, I'm in New Jersey, I'm on Long Island, I was at the Michigan State Spiritualist Association of Churches Convention teaching. And most of the teaching, to answer your question again, most of the teaching is about mediumship development.
And I also know that you have a great mailing list and you send out a monthly newsletter, which includes your schedule. So that's a very positive thing for people, too.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. You're making me smile and chuckle. Yeah, that is correct. I do have a monthly newsletter that I keep people informed as to where I'm going and what I'm doing and what is available, even when I have colleagues visiting from England or local colleagues working.
Well, you know, I wanted to just touch base on what's going on in the world just for a moment.
Please.
Because we have had so much anger and so much shooting in the U.S., and I know there's losses and family grieving. We've also had the upsets in Paris and Brussels. I wondered if you could just speak a little bit about how can we go through this and bring peace to the heart without incorporating more fear. Can you just speak on that for a moment?
In my humble opinion, I don't know how we can do this on a large scale.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many factors involved with all of the anger and shootings and acts of terrorism and all of these sad and painful ways that we're seeing people take other people's lives. But what I can say from, and again, from my humble opinion, is that the more we can move and understand ourselves in the world, and the more we can work at helping to accept ourselves from a place of love and try to respect and honor and love and acknowledge every human being as a divine human being, regardless of religious affiliation, regardless of race or color or sexual orientation, the more we can learn to love and accept people for who they are, as they are divine human beings, I think that's where we move forward. When we can learn to love and accept as we are who we are.
Dropping,
how about yourself?
Well, dropping prejudice is very important, but you know what I've been recommending, and I was hoping you would support me in this, is people having prayer groups in their community. I think prayer is very powerful, and I think that it reaches into a center of energy that can really be helpful. And so maybe that can make all of us reach a place of understanding and better acceptance of others, but it also can help us with prayer and knowing people and getting to know people even better and bring comfort. Don't you think so?
I think that's lovely.
That we can make that grow, the more that we're going to spread love through the world. We really have to do something because this seems to be escalating. And I believe the power of prayer, the more people that gather, the stronger the energy. And who knows what it will do? Who knows? Once more, Richard, will you give out your website, please?
Thank you. It's sacredmessages.com.
And that's all one word, small letters.
That's absolutely correct.
Sacredmessages.com. We're going to take a break. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And my guest is Richard Scholler, medium. He is wonderful. He's one of the best in the world. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and ask him just a couple of more questions after the break. Thank you. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is a book by Elizabeth Joyce. The invisible energy known as Shakti, Chi, the Holy Ghost, is not a time or a thing, but the underlying nature order of the universe, whose ultimate essence is difficult to hold or to understand. The object of spiritual practice is to become one with these energies, to become a tunnel, to become a download effect, or by whatever you choose to call them. To achieve this type of balance is known as the state of being. This book, penned by Elizabeth Joyce, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, is an experience of compassion. It's a desire to help others with these troubling times through light and love shining through the darkness and to bring love and light to all those who read the words. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is not a fluffy feel-good book. It is a well-written practical guide exploring the groundbreaking philosophy of truly transforming your life. If you are serious about creating change, embracing your birthright, with enthusiasm and grace, and creating your very own infinite possibilities, then this book is for you. With all the religious teachers, books, and masters of philosophy, we learn soon that they are one and the same. Spiritual practice is to become one with the soul and harmonize your inner nature in order to achieve that which you have been born to do. When you are walking your path, you innately know this because it becomes effortless. You think about it, you talk about it, you plan it, and you do it. This always involves meditation and the practice of moral practices. This book, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, brings the principles which can be discerned by observing nature and can be followed as a practice. Your impact and connection to this energy force brings you a force field containing unlimited possibilities. However you practice it and use it is up to each and one individual soul. This book contains the natural laws of the universe, which will help to open your heart and guide you. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is available at Amazon.com and at Elizabeth's website, www.new-visions.com. Pick it up, and you'll keep it by your bedside forever. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. And now it's time for our cosmic tip. This week, we're going to talk about dealing with grief. Every human has experienced loss at some point in life. Yet some losses impact us more than others. Not only do some losses represent that life is out of our control, but that bad things can happen to us. And grief is always cumulative. France has been under a state of emergency since November of 2015. And the attacks at the restaurants at the Bacalan Concert Hall in Paris that killed 130 people deployed 10,000 military personnel to guard critical sites. That assault came after the January 2015 shootings at the Charlie Hebdo satirical newspaper and a kosher store near Paris. The Nice attack and four others of smaller scale in the last 18 months have brought the tally close to 240 dead and hundreds injured. Neighboring Belgium was hit by terrorist attacks at the Brussels airport and in the city's metro. In the United States, we have had our share of shootings and massacres, but never at such a steady rate as those in this millennium of 2000. It is always tragic when a large number of people lose their lives. But it's worse when the deaths are of children and of college students. The Orlando nightclub massacre on June 12, 2016, killed 49 people by a heavily armed gunman at Pulse, a popular Florida gay bar, the worst mass shooting in the U.S. history. When we experience pain of one loss, the sadness, anger, and grief of past losses is likely also to be present within us. The fact that more significant losses a person has had in a short amount of time, the higher risk she is for psychological as well as physical illness. While loss and the accompanying grief are part of our human journey, they can be life-disrupting and create an overwhelming sense of sadness, loneliness, and fear. Here are some tips to assist you through the grieving process. Remember, there is no right or wrong way to grieve. Some people are outward, expressive grief. Others are very private. Some people want a lot of support and comfort, and others want to grieve alone. You never know how anyone is going to react in grief, and that mood could be with them for several months afterwards. Grief takes as long as it takes. There are no limits on how long one should grieve. Each person's sadness and redefining life after a significant loss is different. No one should tell someone else, "Get over it. You've had a sadness long enough." Grief comes in waves and hidden pockets. What this means is that one day a person may feel fine and happy, and the next day overwhelmed by sadness and frustration at their loss. It seems that out-of-the-blue waves of distress may be confusing to those around the person grieving. They may start crying for no apparent reason. This is a normal part of the grieving process and usually occurs because of some kind of a trigger. The waves of sadness do get further and further apart and less intensive over time, but for a long while they may seem to just suddenly appear. The shortest way to the other side of grief is to walk through it. A person who tries to suppress their sadness about a loss will eventually have to deal with that anger, the sadness, and the unfairness of the loss. The more unresolved and suppressed grief is, the more a person will be emotionally restricted, and their grief will come out in unconscious ways to those around them. It's important to honor and acknowledge the grief and loss and the accompanying feelings, so these feelings are not slipping out at unwanted times around other people or being turned inward, causing physical illness. Grief has 5 stages. Denial, it can't really be happening. Bargaining, if only I had, if only she had known. Anger, at the loss of, at caregivers to the one that's lost, at yourself, etc., and etc. Sadness, depression, tears, discouragement, feelings of unfairness. And then resolution, finally understanding the loss was not about you, and that you will survive and possibly help others out of that loss. Create an outward expression of what you are feeling inside. This is also called a ritual. When we realize a significant emotional event, it helps us to find our resolution. Writing a poem, taking flowers, creating a memorial, or something in honor of that person and your time together can help with emotional healing. Part of this is a way to acknowledge your feelings and thoughts, but also it helps to process emotions in a different way than in the brain by putting them into words and writing them down. Spend time with long-term friends and caring relatives. Have some continuity in life is important. Being able to relive memories, connect the past, and have a sense that you are not alone is very important. Do new things. Learn a new skill. Take up a new hobby. Find out about a talent you never knew you had. Meet new people. Join a grief support group or attend a new class. Add a dimension into your life. Whatever you do, remember that you are not alone and the world is not random and there are always good things to participate in. Reading inspirational materials helps, as well as listening to CDs and tapes of inspirational speakers. Attending church, temple, 12-step meetings, and support groups. Being in nature or in any place where you feel connected helps to give you a bigger picture. There's a lot of support for those going through grief and loss. Many great books are available at your local bookstore, and there are probably support groups near you or in your community. And then there's people who are very talented at bringing messages in from the other side. It may help to schedule an appointment with one of them to see if there are any important messages coming to you from your loved ones. Just do what's right for you, and remember, you are never alone. Spirit, the divine, and others around you are always with you. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and next week's guest will be, guess who? Elizabeth Joyce. I'm going to be doing my teaching on opening to your intuition and psychic sensitivity. But the best part about next week's show is that it will be a call-in show. So you can call in and ask a specific question, and I will be happy to answer it for you. Spiritual and physical interaction between men and women and what has recently been described as light beings has become a universal experience. Such entities have manifested in all times and in all places around the world. There seems to be no important religious connection with these experiences. The manifestation of invisible images throughout the world tell us that we are part of a universe that is more complex than we realize or acknowledge. Over the past 30 years, I have been blessed to open up to my inner self and inner guidance, which has been an invaluable and priceless gift. Mankind has always believed in unseen intelligence inhabiting an invisible world of lives and existences within other realms. The holy books of many religious beliefs support these ideas and inform their followers that such spiritual existence vibrates in a close proximity to our own world. According to biblical tradition, angels stand by, ready to guide, support, and defend mankind against dangers of life on the earth plane. In addition, angels have charge of the dead. And as Richard has joined us tonight with his wonderful insights and his gift of mediumship, I know that you can appreciate that this is true. So tune in next week, July 30th, for my lessons on opening to your intuition and psychic sensitivity, and for your call-in and your answer. This is Elizabeth Joyce. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out.
I've been sitting in prayer, thinking about things everywhere, wondering why God let them go. When I saw I'm created, whole and complete, there's nothing outside me for me to receive. I've been sitting in prayer, thinking about things everywhere, wondering why God let them go. And it's easy to see that it's not up to me. And really, there's nothing to know. Do the clouds keep the sun? Does fear keep a heart from loving? They only obscure what is happening, making it hard to see. The being of light that is you and is me.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out, and honored guests come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
And this is Elizabeth coming back in with Let's Find Out. And I have a guest, Richard Scholler, who is here. He is a medium, and he does work all over the world. And how are you again, Richard? Thank you for being here.
Still doing great, Elizabeth. It's lovely to be with you as well.
I wanted to ask you a question that's important to a lot of people, to me as well. And so many people ask this question. When you give medium readings, is there any reaction that stays in your mind more than others?
Oh, wow. It's a great question, Elizabeth. And the way I want to equate it, it depends. It's like asking a dancer what his or her favorite dance is. It all depends on the moment. I think one of the things that, for me, can be quite moving is when a client is sitting across from me and the experience of their parents passing comes through, and the parent states that that particular client was there or holding their hand or helped them to pass physically, to see the recognition in the client's face that the that information is coming through, really, it touches me. It touches me. I feel privileged to be in the space between the physical world and the spiritual world, and to witness, as we were talking about healing hearts, to witness the change or transformation in somebody's face. Or another experience is if someone's died tragically through accident or tragic circumstances, and to state out loud to them that their relative is saying that they did not feel the pain or the actual process of their death, and to see the relief come over the client or family member's face as you're saying that. Those are things that stand out that make me feel deeply humble and also deeply touched and privileged to be in that space.
Yeah, that's very precious. It really is. And also, have you found that somebody has said to you, you've really saved me. I was depressed and now I feel like I have a new lease on life. Have you found that after a medium reading?
Yeah, I've received emails and or cards over the years where people will remark that that I've changed their life, and I will always revert back and say, well, I thank them for the compliment, but I only feel that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and that the spiritual realm is providing the comfort and the support. I'm just the instrument for this.
Well, you know, I think all thoughts and feelings are energy currents, and energy is a force that increases with momentum, and it's based on the nature of consciousness and nourishes and directs us. So it's only natural that you would free up a negative feeling or help somebody feel joy at a passing rather than sadness.
Well, It's lovely that you say that, because even in my own experience now, just because I'm a medium doesn't mean I don't feel the grief of anyone's loss. Of course, we're all human beings and we all feel grief. And I'm clear that as a medium, I'm in service to my clients and others. I'm not here in contact with my own family. But there have been occasions where my own family have stepped in to give me a brief moment of support and reassurance that even they're okay. And those moments deeply move me. It yes. deeply moves me, because it's a reminder that our lives, that energy that we have, that energy that we are, that divine being that we are, continues to live on. And as you said, it helps me to feel freer and live more fully in the world, knowing that I'm going to have the privilege of seeing my family and friends that have passed away before me again.
That's very special. And the thing that it helps me with is fear of death. As you know, I have an identical twin, and she passed away 3 years ago. And that really was starting to bother me a lot, because as identical twins, you never know how that's going to affect you with a passing. But it's all changed now, and I've worked through that fear, and now I feel that, of course, I have more to do, and whatever it will be, but I don't have to fear anything in the moment just because she died.
Isn't that exquisite? Isn't that a great thing that you can be able to acknowledge and say out loud?
Yes, it is, because, of course, you have helped me with that deeply, Richard. But also, to have a fear of death around you all the time, I think, can be very debilitating, don't you?
Oh, I would think to have any fear, whether it's of death or any other, any fear that we experience in the world can be debilitating or stop us in many ways from moving forward with our lives, whether it's death or any fear, because the energy of fear that we're speaking about, the energy of fear can be debilitating, period.
Right. Richard, one more thing and then we'll close. I just wanted to ask you, when you're talking to a parents that have lost a child, what is it that you would like to say about that experience when they start to feel differently? Have you found that that does happen?
Yeah, I've had the privilege of being with parents, and I've had the privilege of connecting children who have passed to their parents. And what I've seen is it's helped the parents to adjust and acclimate to life without the child being physically here. I can't say that that's true for everyone that I've sat with. I can't say that, but I've had the privilege of seeing it with some parents. And again, I feel deeply touched and moved by that. No parent should ever have to bury a child. We all understand and know that. And unfortunately, it happens. So to have the privilege of helping parents move through the grief of the loss of a child is very meaningful and moving to me.
Oh, that's beautiful. I agree.
Thank you for asking, Elizabeth.
So we're going to close, but I would like you to tell everybody who you are and how they can reach you, Richard.
Thank you. So once again, as Elizabeth said, I'm Richard Scholler. I am from Huntington, Long Island, New York. My website is sacredmessages.com, and two more. I have the connection of teaching with the Inner Spiritual Center in New Jersey, and that's innerspiritualcenter.org. And I am a member of the International Spiritualist Federation, and that is theisf.com. So thank you for all of that, Elizabeth.
Right. And you want to give out a phone number, please, about how they can reach you?
Certainly. They can either email me through my website or call me at 631-223-8634 to set up an appointment.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Richard. And I hope that next time we will be able to take calls and call in questions about your work. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I would love to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And now we're going to go into our meditation, Garden of Wisdom. So please sit with your spine straight, both feet flat on the floor. Take a deep breath. And here we go. Good night. This is the Garden of Life meditation. The thoughts we think and the words we speak are constantly shaping our world and our experiences. Many of us are in the old habit of negative thinking, and we do not realize the damage that we have inflicted upon ourselves. However, we are never stuck, because we can always change our thinking. As we learn to consistently choose positive thoughts, the old negative ones dissolve away. So sit with both feet flat on the floor and allow these messages and affirmations to penetrate within you. Your subconscious mind will pick up the ones that are important to you at the moment. These concepts are like fertilizing the soil of your mind. As you absorb them by repetition, you are slowly enriching the very basis of your garden of life. So as we go through these affirmations, as you allow them to come into your consciousness, know that you are planting seeds of positive thinking into your garden of life. I release the past with ease, and I trust the process of life. I close the door on old hurts, and I forgive everyone, myself included. I visualize a stream in front of me. I take all those old experiences, old hurts, and old pains, and I put them all on this stream and watch them begin to dissolve and drift downstream until they totally dissipate and disappear. I am free, and everyone in my past is free. I am ready to move forward and to new adventures that await me. Lifetimes come and go, but I am always eternal. I am alive and vital, no matter which plane of action I am existing on. Love surrounds me. Love surrounds me now, and love surrounds me in the future. Love surrounds me forever. My willingness to forgive begins my healing process. I allow the love from my own heart to wash through me, cleansing and healing every part of my body. I know I am healing. Forgiveness of myself and others release me from the past. Forgiveness is the answer for almost every problem. Forgiveness is a gift to myself. I forgive, and in doing that, I set myself free. I free myself and everyone in my life from the old past hurts. They are free now, and I am free now to move forward into new, glorious, fabulous experiences. I cross the bridge with joy and ease. The old unfolds into wonderful new experiences. And you know, my life gets better and better all the time. I am willing to release old negative beliefs. They are only thoughts, and thoughts stand in my way. New thoughts are positive and fulfilling. I release all the things from my past that cloud my vision. I see the perfection in all of life. I willingly forgive. I breathe love into my vision. I see with compassion and understanding. My clear insight is reflected in my outer sight. I breathe in the fullness and richness of life. Take a deep breath and breathe in the fullness and richness of life. Take a deep breath and breathe in the aromatherapy of spring, all of the flowers blooming and the wonderful, glorious sights of the brilliant colors. Take a deep breath and observe your life with joy, abundantly supporting me. Life supports me with more good than I can imagine. I am guided throughout this day in making right choices. Divine intelligence and my blessed higher self continuously guide me in the realization of my goals, and I am safe. I am safe. It's only change. I break free and think wonderful thoughts. I move past my limitations into freedom. I now become all that I am created to be. I am that. I am love. I am growing in full bloom in my garden of wisdom. And so it is. Thank you.